Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening. Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host, Han Tran. Han, how are you this evening?
I am absolutely marvelous, Jim.
It's
wonderful
great.
Down here.
Yep. Welcome, obviously, to everyone to episode number 36 of Straight Talk. Tonight, we've got a really very interesting subject that, Han and I were discussing. We said, okay, what do we want to talk about? We've just finished up the three-part series of design, build, construction manager, and general contractor. And Han says, you know, there has been a discussion on Dentaltown having to do with the idea of aspects of what, how dental practices look. And so tonight's topic is aesthetics. How important is that first impression? So Han, I'll let you set the background of what really has been going on Dentaltown, and that'll lead us into our review of what we feel you need to do.
And I think the good evening, everyone, and thanks for plugging in with us. The topic got started because I was reading a discussion that mainly discussed about what is the right look. Is it, you know, is it over the top? How does it fit into the demographic of the patient base? This is an old, an old age type of discussion that exists to, among many corporations and businesses that have been around for a while, and talking about, changing, updating, and what have you. And the biggest concern that they have often discussed is if we make it too new, too upscale, it may affect their business. The existing client may say they are established. Being upscale and all that stuff, that means that their fee is going to be higher. And or if I'm located in a an area or part of town, or my client base are blue collar, what should it look like, and so on and so on. And so that's how our discussion got started. And I thought, well, it's a good topic to discuss, because I think there's a lot of valid point to discuss, valid concern. But at the same time, there's a lot of myths that I think have been thrown around, and that worth a discussion to kind of flush out and see what the balance is. So so that's how basically how our topic of the day got formulated. And so, if you're looking at the first impression or the aesthetic, first impression, you only get one shot at it. Okay. And so, do you get it right? Or does it matter? Okay.
Yeah, let's break that. Let's break those two words down first. All right. Let's define aesthetics. Now, aesthetics in the psychological world is really the study of beauty. In what human feel is beautiful or attractive or comfortable. So really that's what we're talking about when we say aesthetics. Aesthetics is our, we're talking about the built environment, the area around us, but it doesn't have to be just a built environment. It also has to do with other sensory areas like sound, like smell. Obviously, it involves taste as well, but, you know, typically we don't ask for, or, you know, you don't ask for your patients to come in and taste your building. But there are things that really can impact the aesthetic or the aesthetic experience, and we're going to get into those. Now, also, let's look at first impression. First impression is also a psychological term that deals with that first encounter that we have as a human. So we're talking about the first impression, the human observer, and what they feel like when they enter a space, drive up to a building. Han, do you know how long it takes to make a first impression? How long the human...
I have not seen or read any scientific data.
Well, there's actually been studies. And first impressions, we as humans can make a judgment in 1/10 of a second. So in 1 second, we can make 10 judgments of our environment. And that's with all of our senses. So again, the sense of smell, the sense of sight, the sense of hearing. In that quick of a time. So as you know, as we look at this, and let's translate it into, all right, what's the first impression that a patient has when they come up to or integrate into your building? Now, obviously, so there's that moment in time when your new patient, and typically first impressions happen with new patients, when your new patient drives up to your new dental office. So it's a building kind of environment. You build this impression of all of these judgments that the patient is making at 1/10 of a second. Every 1/10 of a second, they can make another judgment. So they drive up to the new dental office. Do you have a situation where it's difficult to get into the parking lot? Bad impression. Do you have a situation where it's easy to get into the parking lot? Good impression. You may say, well, what do I care? Well, you care a lot because, Han, go ahead. Tell them why they care.
Well, if it's too difficult for the patient to get into your parking lot, they may not come back.
If they don't
get
come
into
back.
If they get into your parking lot and they can't find parking, they may not come back.
They may not stay.
So they may not stay. That's right. That's right. So those first impressions, they don't have to come into your building yet. That experience starts way before they actually get into your building.
Right.
It started in the parking lot.
You're right. It starts at the point where you can affect it, and that's where you enter the parking lot. You can't affect the road other than you can say, well, you know, I'm not going to build here because the roads are terrible or they're congested. I'm going to build some other place. That, you know, that's a more broader approach as to affecting the first impression. But from a, let's say you've already picked your property, you've already got this particular location. Now it's like, all right, when we're looking at planning this new facility, where is the best place to put the drive entrance and why? We look at that stuff. And we make sure that there's a reason for it because it really does impact the idea of having enough parking. Human nature is if a parking lot looks 85% full, it's perceived as being full. And we as humans aren't comfortable. We're not comfortable, and it gives us a negative impression. that, oh crap, there's not enough parking in this place. Why do I want to come to this place? And you may say, well, that's a good thing, right? There's not enough parking. That means there's a lot of patients. That means everybody likes it. And so it's a popular place. Well, yeah, but if it becomes an inconvenience, then it becomes a negative. And you want to do away with all these negatives so you can make great positive first impressions. Because the goal of the first impression from a dental standpoint is you create and establish that first impression, which psychologists have said that first impressions are extremely hard to change, even if they're negative and maybe false in their perception. They're extremely hard to change. And you want to create that first impression that then you can build upon. You build upon it with great service. You build upon it with great patient experience. And you've got a patient for life. And you've got a patient who is then an advocate for you and your practice and your team. And they're going to go tell their friends and family and coworkers. And all of a sudden, you've got 10 more patients. And you've got 10 more patients on top of that. And it just, it logarithmically builds. And so it's very, very important. And Han and I, we take this stuff serious. You know, we just don't willy-nilly go. We don't willy-nilly go take a site and say, oh, just put the driveway here. No, it's got to be why.
There's a few things that we look at other than location, 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 because you hear that mantra all the time. Okay. Let's say you got a great site, great visibility, everybody that drives by and see it, but it's happened to be located on a divided highway where traffic coming in in one direction that have to go past the building, make a U-E, okay, to get to your building. That, in my opinion, could deter them. It is an inconvenience. So you have to look at everything, because safety, the safety factor of getting to the site matters. Okay? Not just getting into the parking lot, but the safety of getting into the parking lot. So it matters where the access drive are placed, so that it's not just convenient, but it's also safe.
Right. I mean, obviously, we're designers, we're architects. We care about what this building looks like, because just like a sign, your building is a extension of you and your practice. Here's a prime example. Why do you think banks go to all the trouble to create these sophisticated, attractive, sometimes over the top. You go to any downtown metropolitan city, you'll find a bank which, has big columns and masonry and stonework and arched pediments. And, you could find just about, any little bank facility, even a little branch bank, is going to go over the top on creating that kind of image or look. The reason why they do that is that portrays stability. And they know that. And they know that we as humans want to have stable environments for where we put our money. Even though maybe nowadays, you never ever physically go to the bank and put in any money. You do everything online. You still, as human, want that. We do. So the same thing from the aesthetics of the building, it's an extension of, and it's you make they make a judgment. The patients will make a judgment about the quality of your practice. And you could have the very best, unbelievable, superstar kind of dentistry with staff that would rival any dental office across the country. But if you live in a facility that doesn't portray that, you're putting yourself at a deficit. You're really hampering the ability of your practice to grow and continue. So the aesthetics of that are quite important. So like Hans said, when we place a building on the site, we have to look at so many things, but mostly it's like, oh, how is it visible from the road or the roads and the view corridors? Placing the trees on that particular property have to be done in such a way that they don't block or deter, but actually amplify and help the patient find the front door. So you're driving up to the property, you pulled into the driveway or drive entrance, you got it in the right place. So far, we've built positive first impressions. Now, they find a parking space. Thankfully, you hopefully have enough parking to be able to accomplish that the person can get there. Now, we all know everybody wants a park by the front door. You can't have that. It's like when people fly. Everybody wants an aisle seat on the exit row. There's only a few of those. But at the same time, you want to make it as comfortable and as convenient as possible for parking. So the parking's got to flow properly. We've seen so many parking facilities in dental practices that are just a maze? What do you want to call it?
They're not fully engaged, in their thinking process most of the time when parking lots are laid out. I've spent part of my life designing parking lot. Okay. It's not a fun thing, but it's a crucial part of your overall design and development of the property. Just to have enough parking count isn't good enough. Okay. Think about this. What's the big deal if you take the building and you slam it against one end of the parking of the site, and then just have that sea of asphalt or concrete pavement for parking? What's the big deal? Well, to me, it is. Let's say you're a pediatric dentist, and naturally, a lot of young family, and the mother takes the children for the appointment. She may have two or three in tow. If she's the one that, happened to be the one that parked out, halfway to the moon, she's going to be really, really pissed by the time she gets into the building. Because it becomes so difficult for her. Or if you are a general practice and your patient base is, a lot of elderly, so they will be experiencing the same thing. So convenience is a major is one of the major factors in how we lay our parking lot so that staff don't have to, in the middle of the winter, if you live up in Ohio, like where Jim is, and the temperature is minus 10 and, with the 30-degree wind chill factor, and you're a quarter of a mile from the building, okay, it doesn't make sense. So you try to lay out a parking lot, and the parking lot play into that first impression, that experience before you get into the building, so that they get out of the car and they just a few short steps. They don't necessarily have to be at the front row, but pretty darn close to it. So it's important that piece of the puzzle is done appropriately and not just good enough. It almost virtually has to be perfect.
Used the perfect term. You really used the perfect term, and I think I'd like to adjust our discussion for the rest of the evening and call it the first. You called it not a first impression, but first experience. Really, this is an experience. It's something that you build over the short period of time between when you drive up to your building and you walk into and check in. That experience, we're going to call that the first impression, but it's really the first experience. So you're exactly correct. So you have to have enough parking. You have to have the right kind of parking. You have to have the parking that's articulated in such a way that it's easy for people to move in and around. It's easy for people to get out of their vehicles and walk to the front door. It's easy for drop-off. So you might have an area where there's a covered drop-off where patients can come in and pull out under the, you know, out of the weather, be able to get dropped off. The individual that brought you could then, you know, go park the car. You can transition into the building. So things like having that covered drop-off, you may say, wow, that's a big expense. Yeah, it's an expense, but it's money well worth, because that first experience that you're creating, you might have to spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in marketing to make up for a lack of it, just because of that first experience. When people go say, you know, it's really enjoyable. I mean, what? Everybody's going to the dentist. They're already a little apprehensive at the best. Some of them are scared to death because they don't know what you're going to do to them. It's their first time. Everything you can do to help ease that and make it an enjoyable experience will stick with that patient for life. It will make up for so many other things that maybe aren't, as Han said, perfect down the road. Because, no, you know, nobody's perfect. We're not perfect. We're never perfect. But Han and I, we've been doing this for, what, 30-plus years? We were just talking before the show how many years we've been in this business. And it's like we got to be careful that we don't become jaded in the sense that we think everybody knows all this stuff that we have stuck in our head. But in reality, they don't, because you as our clients are not. You've not been trained in this. You've not had these kind of experiences. It might be your very first dental new build or renovation or practice. And so you're looking to us for that knowledge and that information. And that's kind of why we like doing these shows. So you found a parking space. You've got out of the parking. You walked up a path. Whatever that path might be, the building is set back enough from the parking structure that you don't feel uncomfortable as you're walking along the sidewalk to get to the front door, that, you know, somebody's going to run into you or run over you. You, like Han said, you might have your children with you, more than likely you will. And so, you know, you now are entering, physically beginning to enter the building. So all this discussion we've had already has absolutely nothing to do with the actual building itself, except maybe the overall exterior. During the time that you're walking up to the building is when you really begin to get an impression or an experience of the quality of the building, and thus, by extension, the quality of the practice. So Han, let's talk a little bit about building materials and how that helps us form an impression of quality. Han, you there? Did I lose you?
No, I'm still here, Jim.
Okay. I was saying, you know, the quality of the exterior of the building, what materials and what things, and how does that really impact how we might perceive what the building looks like, or itself?
I think the scenario is if you own the building and you build it from the ground up, then you have more control of the exterior aesthetic of the building. Okay, if you are leasing in a commercial building or retail strip. Hopefully your office is within a complex that are newer. If not newer, the older building with more brick and stuff like that to give it that a stability, that upscale look and so on. But, you know, the impression, you know, when they look at the front of your building and you have, you know, window film that are torn, you have posters sticking on it like, you know, like you're part of a retail establishment trying to push product, those things may not be something that give them the, wow, this is the, you know, top-notch facility. They do judge your, they do judge the quality of your office before they actually enter to the front door. So, you know, you look at brick, glass, stone, things that perceive wealth, things that perceive success. Of course, you know, it just depends on the type of building you're in. But if you're looking for an office and you want to put, to have a perception of you know, higher on the pecking order and things like that, you look for materials that perceive, you know, the high-end appeal. So brick is you know, it's usually something that you see a lot in buildings that are more upscale. Modern buildings tend to have more glass, more metal. You know, metal isn't necessarily cheap, because I know some metal products that are extremely expensive. But so, you know, those are the choices. I would tend to stay away, let me say, the homey feel, like getting into a building that, that may have shingle roof and vinyl siding. You know, if you're an old practice of the 70s and 80s, and that's your first startup, perhaps that's, you know, that it is what it is. But if you're going to build new, make the aesthetic appealing and more stable and more upscale, and go with the more natural stuff. Jim?
Absolutely. And let's do a little side discussion and talk about the patients themselves. One of the things that we always look at, and we'll have a discussion with our clients, is their patient base and their potential patient and where they come from. And I'm talking about, you know, we're not trying to profile, but at the same time, it's, you've got to be cognizant of the individual and the individual basis. So if you're in a rural environment, and the majority of your patients are rural individuals who might be very uncomfortable walking into a, let's say, let's just put it, a very high-end, ultra-glamorous, over-the-top-ish kind of look on the exterior of the building as well as the interior of the building. The first impression that, or the first, the first impression that you're going to get is that I can't afford this place. Why am I even here? I mean, you look at all this, you know, high-end finishes and materials and stuff. And like Han said, you know, and there's three of the vehicles sitting in the staff parking area are Porsches, and there's a Ferrari around the corner. Now, there's nothing wrong with Porsches and Ferraris. They're fine vehicles, and they're obviously with very fun to drive. But the impression that they give is, man, I can't afford going to this doc, let alone, you know, I got to help him make that next payment on that new Porsche over there. So you got to be very careful that you correctly identify your patient base and who and how you're designing to them. And so we have many, many project types, and we've done it for all locations. We've designed for dental facilities, you know, in high-end areas in Chicago and rural areas in central Ohio. And so everything in between, all over the country. Actually, Han, you've even worked a whole lot of international stuff. So you got to be real cognizant of who and how you're designing to. So, Han, you were talking about it's really not a matter of the dentist's feel or look. It's really more so of how and what your patients are going to want to see.
Yeah, I think it's there is a balance, and it's kind of tough to gauge. But just a little bit of research, check to see what your surrounding look like. Okay, you definitely don't want to be the one that stands out like a headlight. Like a mouthful of perfect teeth at one spot where you restore and that didn't match. You don't want that. It's the ideal. I think the ideal aesthetic to be in any environment is to be a little nicer, but not a whole lot nicer. Because first of all, the impression is that you're too expensive. Besides that, is that you wouldn't be somebody that they can relate to. Because if you are expression the term a city slicker that come into a farming community, drive your $200,000 sports car and your $1,500 suit to the office, and you wear your $1,200 leather shoes, you're not gonna be relatable to the folks. So you have to be, pretty much trying to blend in. Actually, one of the projects that we've done for a dentist in Florida here, he goes by the Blue Jean Dentist. Does he wear nothing but, well, of course, his clothes, but his pants? He's always wear blue jeans. Okay, it's because the environment, the community service, he is very relaxed. So you have to find that balance, that niche for yourself. Okay, you can be successful. Yes, that's what you want. But it's a good time to drive your Porsche on the weekend, away from the office, not at the front door. Okay, so those little things. I think some of the discussions we have and some of the response that I've read is almost too cavalier. It's like, who cares? It's my office. I do what I want. It might show up on your bottom line.
We care because it affects your ability to basically be a profitable business. And we want you to succeed. That's exactly what this is all about, you succeeding. That's why we care. You were saying, huh?
Yeah, so I think it's, again, that balance, you can interject a little bit of your own personal taste, but you have to take into consideration the client base that you have. I've been in offices where it's a blue-collar type of environment in the middle of the lobby. Is this, I think the word is gyro. It's a porcelain doll figurine, three big, huge stallion. You look at that thing, you go like, wow, it's about a $30,000 piece of sculpture in the middle of the lobby. This is going to cost me. Okay? It's way over the top. So you can bring your own personal taste, but do it moderately. And that's what we're saying.
So moral of the story, and you hit it exactly right, Han, moral of the story is you want it a little nicer than what your patient base is used to. Not equal to, but just a little bit nicer, but not over the top. So there's a balance there. And we'll help you work through that to be able to create that. You want something that gives the individual who's walking in that first impression, that experience that, this is nice. This is nicer than my home, but it's not too lavish. I'm okay with it. So it projects quality. And you may say, well, this really isn't fair. I have an exceptional practice. I have an exceptional I'm an exceptional dentist. My staff are exceptional, and everybody is judging us by the building we're in. You're right. It's not fair, but it's the way it is.
How do they say that? And how do they say in The Godfather? It's nothing personal. It's all business, right?
Exactly. It's the business of dentistry. Yeah, it's that impression. It's that experience when they walk in the door that they're going to make a judgment about you before they even see you, before you do a single thing to them, before your staff makes any introduction, before you have any interaction. They've already made a ton of judgments, because remember, we as humans make judgments in 1/10 of a second. So how long does it take to walk from the car to the front door? How many seconds? We're making a ton of judgments by the time we walk to the front door. And we're looking at,
if your patient happened to be, designer, architectural type, and they do a lot more.
Oh, heaven forbid. Yeah, if your patient is in the business or the trade, they're picking apart every aspect of this building from the beginning to the end. And they'll tell
I'm
you about
guilty
it.
Guilty as heck.
We do that. We drive down. My wife hates it when I do this. I drive down. Oh, look at that over there. She's like, keep your eyes on the, I'm weaving all over the road. And it's like we tend to do that. We're always looking at these aspects because that's our life. That's what we're into. But you're exactly right. If they're in a trade and it's part of their DNA, look out. You're really going to get in here full. But
that's right. They're extremely overcritical.
Yeah. Now, another important area to really be cognizant about is the sidewalks. You say, what? The sidewalk? Yes, the sidewalk. And the sidewalk, as it enters up to your building, the actual area in front of your building, if you have a drive-under canopy, that area, be very, very, very careful about how you deal with that, because you're now formulating those judgments that have been made from the moment they got out of their car and walking over to your facility, to your front door. If you place, let's say, textured concrete, is it a deterrent or is it attractive? Is it something that becomes a tripping hazard or it's terrible to drive over in a wheelchair because it rattles the crap out of the occupant? You got to think about all those things. Here's a prime example. The grocery store that my wife and I go to, they thought the developer thought it'd be really cool to put a textured concrete right out of the front door in the front driveway to demarcate that you're at the front door of this building. Come out of that store with a
cart
basket, with a cart full of food, particularly eggs. It's literally rattling the snot out of your groceries. And if I was an individual in a wheelchair or a walker, I would think, this isn't fun. It's no different.
Yeah. What were they smoking?
Yeah. What mental moron was trying to figure out that this was something that would be good to do?
That detail that you mentioned there, I think a lot of, designer and developer are guilty about that a lot.
Because they don't think. They don't think.
Yeah. Well, what they think is that I think the whole idea behind that is that if I throw cobblestone driveway down, people is gonna go, wow, I arrived and there's a palace at the end of the drive, so therefore I can ask for more money and whatever. The problem is, like you say, is that if you even slightly thick and you drive over a cobblestone drive, you want to hurt someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would they do this, okay? When you and I know exactly what you're talking about, James. When you come out of the, you know, out of a building, a grocery store, yeah, those texture of pavement look great, but the moment that you drive your, you know, your shopping cart over, you're gonna scramble your eggs.
Obviously, you're not bringing eggs to a dental office, but it's the same principle. If an individual who's coming in a walker, who's coming with the wheelchair, who's coming in with crutches, whatever, whatever, it's like you got to think about this stuff. And does it make sense, or can you do that some other way? And the answer is, you bet you can. There's a lot of other ways to demarcate and establish that, hey, you've arrived at the front door, and we haven't even gotten the front door yet. All right. So now let's see aspect of the front door. What is your front door like? What is that experience? First of all, is your front door in your building design such that it says this is the front door? Short of a neon sign that has an arrow pointing at it that says front door. Don't do that. It's like you have to have the architecture help to establish this is where the door is. And you've walked up to the front door. You've got to think about things. You know, do you have an automatic door? Is it an automatic door that's biparting, or is it an automatic door that swings open? Or have you opt to a door that has, you know, that you open with the lever and you pull open? Is it a double door? Is it a single door? All those things have to be thought about and looked at. Is it a glass door? Can you see inside? Or is it a solid door with this minimal little dinky window in it that you can't see and you have no idea who's on the other side of that door? What's the most inviting? We work through that. Obviously, you want to establish a very inviting front door experience. And that's done with things like landscaping. That's done with lighting. That's done with the texture and colors. That's done with the shape and the architecture of the entry itself, so that it helps to draw you into your front door. All this stuff is quite important, because, again, it goes back to the quality that's perceived by this first experience. Let's get past that door. Go ahead, hon.
Okay, so your impression is you come through the door. Why would you have a automatic door versus a pull door?
The automatic door, even though sometimes they get the bad rap that they're maintenance headaches, actually gives the perception of a more sophisticated quality and practice. The automatic door doesn't have to be touched. So it's almost like having a door greeter or a doorman there. Remember the old phrase, the doorman there opening the door for you? It just happens to be electronic.
Yeah.
And so you build that impression of, wow, that's kind of nice. It's invited. This building has invited me in by just opening the door automatically as I walk up to it. It's invited me in. So that's the reason why.
I think is that you look at it a lot of time when you look at your building project, you're thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to cost me this much, cost me that much. I think a little change in mindset of what is the value that particular element of the building will bring. Like Jim says, that it gives you the perception that it invites you in. If you are in tow with a stroller and a child and all that stuff, you don't have to touch the door. That is a nice little one last struggle to get you into the door, okay?
Yeah.
A lot of time, and I think all of us experience this more often than we want to, when you walk up to the door and it takes you both hands to pull a single door open because it's so heavy or it's not set to meet the minimum, or should I say the maximum allowed poundage. to pull on a door. So automatic door is it's a cat's meow. All right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great.
Well,
the weather
could be another issue. It could be blowing so hard in one particular direction when you try to, and there's kind of an environmental thing that happens that actually becomes a vacuum that's created within that vestibule, if you have a vestibule, and it even becomes harder to open that door. And then as you open the door, the wind's trying to close the door. So you're right. Automatic biparting doors that basically just slide open are the best. We're just going to have to say it. In our opinion, they're the best. Sure, there's maintenance issues that you have to deal with them, but they invite your patients into the building. And like Han said, you're walking in with kids in a stroller and you don't have to touch a thing and you've been invited in. And that vestibule is two doors. Remember, we always recommend vestibules. So you're going to have a pair of doors on the outside. You're going to have a pair of doors just on the inside in your vestibule. So let's talk about the vestibule itself. There's another aspect, the threshold. What's the threshold like? Humans tend to walk around looking down. So it's important to think about what they're looking at just as much as they are looking forward. How many times have you seen people walk around, they trip? Because
all the time.
Or they run into something because they're too busy looking on their phone. They're too busy looking down and they don't observe what's going on around them. So you got to think about the vestibule threshold. Is there one? If it's smooth, you got to think about the vestibule flooring. What kind of floor material? Go back to our podcast. We talked about flooring in vestibules. You got to think about the color. You got to think about the materials. You got to think about the lighting within that space. And another very important thing you have to think about is, and start thinking about is the smell. Remember those sensory issues we talked about?
Aromatherapy?
Sight, hearing, and smell. Obviously, the other is taste, but again, they're not tasting your building. So you have to be careful that you begin to think about those aspects. How many times have we walked into a dental office and it just reeked of dental chemicals? Let's just put it the way it is. The smell of dentistry. Please, you have to be very, very cognizant of that. You want to do everything you can to begin. You put extra ventilation, put extra exhaust in that front vestibule and or the front entry, the lobby itself, so that you can evaporate or eliminate those smells that are going to be natural to dentistry. We all know it. You got it. You can't help it. That's what it is. But you don't want to slam it in their face when they walk in the front door. You got to ease them into it because they're making that first impression. Han, you were going to say something?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, Jim. And of course, there's always architectural tricks, or design element that can address a lot of those issues. But the first impression, the aesthetic of that, is you wanna get it as close to perfect as possible, so that it makes the experience positive. I've heard, I was at a seminar one time, an executive from Levi Strauss shared this particular piece of information with me called the 727 rule. And I go, I've heard of the 2080 rules, but what is the 727 rule? He said that when people is happy, they tell 7 people that they know. When they're unhappy, they tell 27 people they know. But that rule was before the internet was actually on high gear. Okay? They can tell the world they're not happy with you or they have a negative experience at your facility in a matter of a click of a phone.
Yeah. Yep. welcome to Facebook and whatever. You're exactly right. So the whole idea of the vestibule, you know, is it made out of glass? Is it the material that allows them to feel comfortable as they're being welcomed into the building? So let's say we've transitioned and now we've walked into the lobby. What is the first thing we see? Well, that should be the most important thing they see when they walk in the lobby. Do you walk in and see a sea of chairs with a whole bunch of people in it? Well, that's one impression. Probably not the best impression. Do they walk in and see an attractive, welcoming reception desk with a welcoming receptionist who's greeting them, and it's, you know, a short distance from that second set of doors so that they can transition pretty easily to the front desk and check in? That's what you need to strive for. You need to strive for that. Do they walk in and see a big mural or a piece of artwork on the wall? Well, obviously that's a possibility. Do they walk in and see a whole bunch of whatevers? Or do they see, you know, a big screen TV? You know, those things have to be thought about, because the experience that you want them to have is they need to walk in, experience the overall space very quickly. Again, making decisions or judgments in 1/10 of a second. How many seconds does it take to the walk to the reception desk and be greeted and received by that individual? You need to spend your time, energy, and money focusing on that area so that it gives the impression of quality. We talk about things, Han, we talk about things with our clients about what do you want to put on the countertop at the reception desk? What do you want the reception desk to look like? What material do you want the reception desk to be made of? It could be millions of different things that it could be created of, and majority of them you would not want to do. But we call
it the front of the house, okay? Your reception, your waiting area, all of that stuff, all of that area is almost an art to design it properly. It's not you don't have a checklist to say, I need 30 chair, I need a beverage station, I need a kids area, and check everything. It is an art, okay? When you walk in, where does the reception desk need to be? And there's not a one size fit all answer. Every space, every physical space is slightly different. So you have to look at the overall space and then design it and locate it so that, one, every culture is a little bit different, but I found that in the United States, we're kind of guarded. We like to have our own personal space. We don't want to be on display. When you walk into the room, you don't want to go, you look and say, oh, crap, the reception desk is all the way on the other side of the room. And all of these people, all these strangers, going to stare at me as I walk through. It's not a comfortable thing. So the design of your lobby, your reception desk, where everything needs to be placed, has to be thought out. Just not simply go, toss it out and see where it lands. That's what we're going to have it.
We call that the lobby gauntlet. You know, you don't want them to walk through this gauntlet of chairs, this sea of seating and individuals, patients that are waiting. And like Bill's always said, patients don't wait. You don't want them there long enough to wait. And that's true. Your practice should be doing such a way that you don't have a lot of patients that are waiting. They're there for a short period of time, and then they transition into the space. And the only people that are out there for an extended period of time are the individuals that came with the patient, and they're actually waiting for the patient. They're not waiting on the doctor.
That's right, the rides.
Yeah, they're waiting on the patient. So, you know, do they walk in and see a coffee pot or a water cooler or a drinking fountain or the restroom door? You know, those kind of things. You know, no, you want to be able to really think about what impression you're giving and make this experience as exciting and as stimulating as possible, because it creates that impression of quality. Lighting is another very important, very, very important aspect. It'll help either make or break this experience. So you have to, we think about, you really have to think about what you do with the lighting and have the lighting in such a way. I guess an example of one thing you definitely don't want to do, and you see it all the time in places like Costco or those shopping clubs, where they have that giant curtain of air that you, when you walk into these, you know, the space where they have the carts, and you walk through this giant curtain of either cold or hot air, depending on where you're at in the country, and it's, you know, it blows down across your head and your face and your body. That's not the experience you want to create. So you don't want to have that. So in that vestibule, at that second layer door, make sure your HVAC system is done properly so it doesn't give that experience to your patients. Han, you were saying?
And Jim, yeah, that what you just described is when you have a space that you go, I don't want a vestibule, okay? If you are the person or persons that sits within the spitting distance from the front door, and it's a blizzard outside and the temperature is -0 and the wind's howling, when that door opens and you don't have the protection of the vestibule, your experience just went down the tank, okay? It's miserable. So we always advocate for a vestibule. If you don't have a vestibule and you don't have the room, but you like to provide some protection, that air curtain that Jim was, you know, was describing, it's called an air curtain. It basically like a invisible curtain that divides the sitting area and the front door, separating the environment, outdoor environment. It minimizes it. But yeah, it's a terrible experience, especially for the gals. When you have your hair done and all that stuff, and you walk through that air curtain, it just blows your hair all over the place, and you look like a mess. It would be, even for guys,
that's really sexist.
Woke up. Yeah.
There's guys out there that really worry about how their hair looks too, hon. But you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And you know, let's think of the other area that we didn't talk about is obviously the floor. The flooring within this area, the flooring within the lobby and the major path as you're walking through the second set of doors into and over to the reception desk itself. You need to really think about it. You know, is it a slick ceramic tile, which if it gets wet, you slip and bust your butt? Or is it a soft material like a carpet or some other product that gives a level of quality about it? You know, is it clean or is it dirty? All those things have to really be thought about, because that all, you know, is it a light color and it's impossible to keep clean? So, you know, or is it black? If it's black, it shows up every little speck of white on it. So the salt that comes in from outside, if you're in a northern environment, impossible to keep clean. All of those things have to be thought about. And those all speak to that overall first impression / experience. You know, we've talked for over an hour about one itty-bitty little aspect of this building, and that's getting to the front reception desk. We haven't even talked about the inside of the building. And in that time that it maybe takes you 1 or 2 or 3 minutes a new patient is making judgments every 1/10 of a second. So they've made hundreds of judgments about the quality of your dental practice before they've even walked into a chair. So I guess, you know, this is so important to us that we wanted to spend this time kind of going over this, because it's really important to you and your practice. Hon, you were going to say something?
No, I believe that, you know, you can have all the nice materials and all the upscale look and stuff like that. We haven't even got to maintenance, cleanliness. You can have an old 1960 building. It's aged, but you kept it really well. You clean, it doesn't have dust balls in the corner or spider hanging off the light and things like that. It's, in my opinion, it give a better first impression than a brand new building that's unkept. Okay, so there's an awful lot of stuff that need to be taken into consideration as you formulate your building, your aesthetic. First impression, like I say before, is you only have one shot at that. That's why it's called first impression. You can never go back and try it again. So everything you do, think it out, thought it out. Like Jim say, an hour, we barely touch. We haven't got to the, we just got into the lobby. Okay. But it's important that you find the balance. It's important that you look at every detail, so that you can get the best of your investment, and give your patient, the experience that they expect, the experience that would allow them to say, I refer you to this doctor, this dentist, because they have a nice facility. They have good staff. They have, the treatment was excellent, and on and on and on. So, you know, that's why we felt that it's important that we spend some time on this particular topic. Jim?
Yeah, exactly. That, like Tom was saying, that perceived quality that you get from that first experience is impossible to change. It's going to be there. You can, work on it, but obviously you want to have the very best first experience, the very best first impression. Once you've brought the new patient into the doors and they've created that judgment about you, then it's up to you and your staff to take it from there and build upon that. Okay, that's a whole nother subject and a whole nother matter. And the inside of the building and actually how the staff functions with them, how the architecture of the building and the flow and the patient experience, that's another whole subject. And maybe that's the next subject we'll talk about next week. Han and I will talk about that. But, that whole experience just builds upon this impression. We'll look at things like congestion. We'll look at things like the overall look of the building. But they've already made that judgment about you before they've even walked through that clinical door that might separate that lobby from your clinical space. They've already made that decision about perceived quality of your practice. So we will look at, you need to look at all of these aspects to be able to provide the most pleasurable experience. Spend a little extra time. Hopefully your budget is such you can spend a little extra money to be able to make this thing right. Because when you do that, it pays big dividends.
Invest in it. Invest yep. in your first impression.
Absolutely. So with that, obviously we want to thank you for listening to us and indulging us for this hour. There's a ton of other podcasts. Han and I were just talking before the show that, you know, this is number 36. We've done 36 of these episodes, and the topic list is endless. I could see us going for another at least 36 more topics, maybe probably more. There really is just a bunch of endless things that we can talk about because it's so, you know, important to successful dental facilities. So, Han, I'll leave you with the last thought.
Well, it's been fun. Certainly appreciate you tuning in and spend the hour with us. Until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.